This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
There's some hardware on the table.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
A Marconi Award from NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, for the Network Syndicated Personality of the Year for yours truly, and I thank all of you.
Today's guests, Browns defensive end Myles Garrett, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, that's correct. Hi. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to tell. I sometimes don't know how to start the show. I'm not going to lie.
But it always catches me off guard. You're just like, hi, hey, it's me.
Sometimes my people might be like, really, is it? And I have to confirm it off the top.
Right.
Just to take the mystery out.
Of course.
Just like it's the Ohio State. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to be confused. It's the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here today on this Friday leading into week eight, writ large of the National Football League season, the NBA. We've got it's the first weekend of the NBA season. The World Series starts tonight in the Metroplex.
All right.
Between the Rangers and the Diamondbacks, and the cartwheels you're hearing are from Fox executives. Is Del Tufo there right now? He's there right now.
He's running cables.
No, you know what he's doing? He's comic relief. That's what he is.
I have everything ready.
At any rate. Jay Felly, good to see you over there, Jay Felly. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yes.
Rich, I'm great.
TJ Jefferson, how are you, brother?
You know, my fantasy team's doing well. I'm doing great.
Which fantasy team?
All of them.
Okay.
Whoa. Shot across the bow.
That's because we're playing each other in our NBA fantasy week, right?
Well, you know, last night you made it personal. See, it wasn't personal between us.
How did I make it personal?
You just made it, but I don't remember. You said something yesterday.
No.
You said something, and I was like, oh, it's personal.
Here's how it would be personal. It would be personal if just before we start playing against each other, I tell you, you're not allowed on the plane.
No, that's personal.
That makes it personal.
That is personal.
And we'll get to that shortly on this program.
You ain't never lied.
Somebody forgot to tell James, don't show up to the airport. Fascinating. We'll get to that.
That could not have gone over well.
Oh, boy. But let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. 5-3 at the 8-game juncture. I'll be straight up. Didn't think they'd be 5-3. I would have signed a piece of paper saying 6-2 at worst. 7-1 maybe.
Yeah.
They're 5-3. Let's talk about the positives. They won a short week game. Not easy to do, even if you're home. They won a game in which Josh Allen came up with a throwing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. We talked about that about Dak Prescott. When you've got a quarterback who can run it and then he can put it in the end zone himself with his legs and then with his arms, that is the difference maker in this league. If you have someone who can do that, you need him to do that. The problem is there's some conundrum in Western New York about him doing too much. And that sometimes seems to be an issue of, is he thinking too much out there? Which is why Ryan Fitzpatrick said, I'm going shirtless when we see the Mandalorian-type quarterback show up. The guy who imposes his will against you. That guy who we haven't seen in about a month. And the question is he banged up? He spent some time in a blue tent last night. I was freaking out for Bills Mafia at that point in time because he had just galloped easily into the end zone. Good old school Josh Allen running it in, sticking the ball out as he's crossing the goal line, teardropping it, which he probably would have done if it didn't get knocked out of his hands. You know? Like, look at the confidence on this guy's face as he's crossing the end zone, reaching the ball out across the goal line easily as he glides in with a shoulder that who knew at the time needed to looking at in the blue tent. I couldn't believe, like, wait, why is Kyle Allen warming up?
Yeah, exactly.
So I understand the Bills came out with this win, and all is good in that hood. 5-3, way better than 4-4, certainly when your next game is against the Cincinnati Bengals on a Sunday night in week number 9. Hey now. But for the moment, I'll say this, you know, they looked so good in weeks 2 through 4. They did. Weeks 2 through 4, bouncing back from that loss against the Jets on opening night. I'm like, that's the team. Rick Dalton, Jeff. There it is. That's the team. That's the Bills right there. That's the Bills right there. Obviously, you can't win every game, you know, by 28 points in the NFL, but you can impose your will and look dominant. And the good news is for the Bills, despite losing Trey White and Matt Milano and Daquan Jones, despite losing those players just off the top of my head, defensively, boy, they can get after it. And they got all over Baker Mayfield. Yeah. If it wasn't for that tipped ball up in the air, how about that? Coming out of the blue tent, Josh Allen throws a ball, gets tipped up in the air, and it gets intercepted. The Bills defense did its job last night. But still, it was a game. That's the issue. It was still a game. And the Bills, you know, it doesn't look pretty. I don't see any pictures on the standings. But maybe, just maybe, let's take this mini bye, Buffalo. Let's get Allen's shoulder, whatever is up, a little bit right. And I don't know. This is interesting. Play the soundbite from the coach first, if you don't mind. No, the soundbite from the coach, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'm always concerned about, you know, anyone's injury, in particular Josh's. He's so tough, so competitive. It didn't surprise me when they said, hey, he's going back in. But from a, I don't know, like a protective standpoint, but, you know, you're going to have to take his helmet from him, you know, to keep him from going back out there. So
you mentioned Josh sliding. Mitch Morse laughed and said we should frame it and put it up there. Is that something you still have to say to him?
I'm done saying it. He knows. So he knows. So if he's going to run, he needs to slide. He knows that. So that conversation's been had over and over and over again. So short of hitting him over the head with a baseball bat and knocking him out, it's his job to slide. So
I guess that would defeat the purpose of the slide.
Good fun stuff. But Sean McDermott, you know, maybe, just maybe, this is why on fourth and short they're throwing a ball instead of, you know, brotherly shoving Josh Allen across the goal line, because they don't want to put his shoulder at risk. Something's up with that shoulder. You know what I mean? Because
I think that's obvious.
I'll just,
yeah.
Again, to me, the idea was to get the running game so he doesn't have to do everything in the red zone. That seems to be off. James Cook is getting his yards. Damian Harris is hurt. Latavius Murray is supposed to be pounding it in the end zone. At one point, he had to bounce it outside inside the 5-yard line. That didn't work. Dalton Kincaid was supposed to help. Now, that's a bright spot. That's a kid who I think could be very helpful in taking the Bills back to that weeks 2 through 4 when they were killing it and crushing it. And you saw him last night score his first touchdown. Dawson Knox is out for a month. You saw what he can do as a difference maker in the red zone. That's not too bad. But part of me does want to see Josh Allen be, he's 27 still. I want to see Josh Allen be Josh Allen. And it's kind of crazy I'm saying this when he threw for 300 yards and scored one on the ground and threw one in. But this game was too damn close for my liking. Because the Bucs have now lost 3 in a row. And, you know, it just seems to be a mistake fest for the Bills when they just need to clean it up. Clean up the mistake fests. Get Josh Allen feeling more like that Mandalorian quarterback who is just gunning for your soul. And this team still can go places. But I come off of that Thursday night game saying that something that's missing from Buffalo is still missing. A little bit. And If I'm wrong, they'll wind up winning the game against Cincinnati, just unlike last year in the playoffs. They'll end up beating the Jets to avoid a season sweep. They'll end up going to Philadelphia and beating the defending champs in the NFC and then coming off their bye feeling good and beating the actual defending champs in Kansas City. Tell Dallas, not in our house. You know? And then go see sweep the season series against Miami in the final week of the season and have a shot at the one seed. What do you think? Possible? Sure, it's possible. Probable? Yeah. Not based on what I saw last night. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm saying.
No,
that something's just off, and the something that's off is seeing Josh Allen imposing his will and cleaning up the mistakes, like ripping Baker Mayfield's face mask when you're taking him down to the ground that essentially ended the game, and letting Tampa do what it was doing last night, which is taking the air out of their own football, running the clock out on themselves on a 17-play drive when you got to score fast. And a couple of penalties kept Baker Mayfield out on the field, and that opens you up to two things. One, a touchdown pass to Mike Evans that grazes off your defensive back's helmet. And then a Hail Mary. We could have been having a completely different opening segment today had Chris Godwin not turned around a split second sooner. It was the most Hail Mary perfect pass I have ever seen hit the ground without it touching a single hand. The last hand that touched the football last night on the Hail Mary was Baker Mayfield's. And the ball wasn't way short, and it wasn't sailed out of the back of the end zone. It landed like a dart, hitting the freaking bullseye. I shoot you straight. In my 20 years, the NFL Network's 20th anniversary is two Saturdays from now. I've never seen a Hail Mary pass thrown so perfectly hit nobody in the hands. Ever. And that ball, had Chris Godwin turned around, he could have fair caught it.
Yo, I'm watching it right now. It's so perfect.
We would be talking about a completely different outlook for the Buffalo Bills, which is my point. That game should have been in the freezer way beforehand. And that's my concern about the Bills, because they're now in the realm, it seems, of having to play a damn near perfect game to beat the teams they're going to have to beat to get to the promised land. And I need to see the weeks 2 through 4 Bills back. Now, of course, all the players that I said on defense that weren't there are not going to be walking through that door anymore. That's why I'm thinking maybe next Tuesday they get a little aggressive for some offensive help. A little aggressive. If Hopkins is out there available, if Derrick Henry's out there available, go bring them to Western New York and get a fresh set of legs and arms and a fresh set of air to breathe through there on their mini bye week. And as for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've lost 3 in a row. 3-1 coming out of their bye. They've lost 3 in a row. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost at home to Detroit, lost at home to Atlanta, and then just lost at Buffalo. And you know what? You know where they're going next? They're going to Houston, and that is zero gimme. That's one of those circle on your schedule going into the year saying, well, at least that's a good chance for a win. Not now. Uh-uh. No way. They have visits to San Francisco and Indianapolis still to come, by the way. Don't sleep on Indy. They got a visit to Atlanta, home for Jacksonville. These are games that are definitely going to be difficult for them if they can't move the chains. I'm telling you, last night, you got the exact information. You hear it is 17 plays, 92 yards, 7 minutes and 21 seconds, which is not optimum when you're down by 14 and there's 10 minutes left on the clock when you start the drive. That was like watching paint dry. And some of the first downs was Baker's moxie with his legs. I don't know what's up with that offense either, because they do have some weapons there. So they've got to find the first month of the there was kind of like the battle of the two teams that had terrific weeks 2 through 4. You know, 5-3 against a team that was 3-3, now 3-4. 4-3 versus 3-3, two teams with 3 losses, and none of them in weeks 2 through 4. For Tampa, except they did lose that week 3 against Philadelphia. But other than that, they were terrific in their first 3 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season. And Buffalo's got to find it again. Atlanta's got a good shot to win this division. We thought they would win it. Who did you choose to win the division to, Atlanta? Or you chose Tampa, TJ?
I can't remember. I want to say Atlanta, I think. I have to go back and look at that.
So Atlanta's game this week is at Tennessee. That's right. It's the Arthur Smith reunion game, where it's Desmond Ridder apparently against Will Levis. How about that?
But Malik Willis is also going to play.
Yeah, an interesting game. Yeah. I've got my top 5 most fascinating, intriguing games of this week. We've got More Likely. Hour 3 is jamming. We've got Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns, TJ Jefferson's MVP candidate. We did, in fact, come up with some extra tombstones for his front lawn with Halloween coming up next Tuesday. Also on this program, What's More Likely? And Tom Pelissero is in studio hour number 3 to tell us the latest on what's going on going into the weekend on the injury fronts and also for the trade deadline. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got so much going on here. When we come back, there is some injury news. A quarterback has just been ruled out for week 8. We'll tell you who that is. And also, James Harden, your plane is boarding. Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash, because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash. And now DoorDash is made even better with Dash Pass. Dash Pass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life, because Dash Pass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. Dash Pass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for Dash Pass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a Dash Pass member today.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Another thing about last night's game is everybody's freaking out because it seems that they used an audible Taylor Swift.
No.
Taylor really? Swift.
No way.
But I don't believe it's what it is. This is kind of like the Laurel and Yana, you know?
Yeah, Laurel, yeah.
Thing, like, see if you hear Taylor Swift or something else. Hit it.
J.R. Smith!
Apparently it's J.R. Smith.
Oh.
J.R. Smith!
Okay.
It's not Taylor Swift. This is good. Like, that's the Laurel Yana. Is it, is it Taylor Swift or J.R. Smith? Hit it again.
J.R. Smith!
Wow.
I did hear J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith. Interesting thing, though, is that they got the playoff on time, though.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Is that wrong?
I mean, LeBron's still probably mad about that.
I mean, that's the photograph that Smith chose.
LeBron's still mad at that, yeah. All-time great meme. I mean, one of the first big sports memes.
Was it? Hey, do you know how much time is left?
What are you doing?
That could change that entire series.
Look how long ago it was. He was a Cleveland Cavalier. That's how long ago it was. Doesn't that feel like ages ago? And look at my man, Travis Kelce. Look at our friend Travis Kelce. Just hold on a second. Life. We get lost in everything going on right now. Look what our friend has become. A man about town, a man of earth.
All grown up.
He was already that guy.
Grown up.
Travis Kelce was always that dude.
Now, when we first walked in here, man, and we were just talking to him, and he was wearing 87, and it's kind of like, oh, there's another 87 in this league. Right. It plays pretty good tight end. Not just Gronk. He's Baby Gronk.
Baby Gronk.
That's a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah. Even when you lose, I win.
Dating the most famous woman on the planet.
She's a billionaire now.
Dude. So it wasn't true. It wasn't. J.R. Smith. It wasn't Taylor Swift. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One last thing here. Do you think there's going to be a backlash here about Baker? Oh, he's blowing it. He's blown his shot here. He's blown his chance here.
He made some plays last night.
He did, man.
I don't know. Though, he had that one where he spun out of the sack and then stepped up and hit a throw. I don't know.
You know, we'll always cape for him here. But what are we really? We're gonna see if Kyle Trask. We're gonna turn to him at 3-4. Is that what we're gonna do? Is that what everybody's gonna do? Is that what's being called for there?
No,
how about
so.
Also? And I'm a fan of Todd Bowles too. But what was going on at the end of the half? It's 4th and 3. You took a what you. You know, you're afraid that if you don't make it, you're going to give the Bills a chance to kick a field goal. But you got to steal points. You've got to go for it.
Right.
The whole business of, like, what if we don't make it in 2023?
Out the window.
Right. Like, you've got to have plays there where Baker's going to, you roll them out, create it, or you don't want to cut off half the field, then don't roll them out. Figure out some sort of pick play, get a first down, somebody out of the backfield.
Where were some
of the... But the fact that you don't attempt it and you're trying to get them to jump off sides, I think even Al even gave the whole what else is new or more of the same, you know, because everybody tries to draw people up, jump off sides. That works, what, 1 out of 15 times? 1 out of 20 times? Like, that's the aggressiveness you need to try right there. Not like, well, we'll just go in a halftime down 7. It's better than going down 10 if we don't make it. Or you do make it, and you go down 14. I mean, you go down by 4.
Need some Mike Evans 50-50 balls.
Right.
Like something.
And that's one thing, too. Yeah. Baker has found Mike Evans in 7 games way better than Tom Brady did last year in 17. Wouldn't you say?
I mean, I know Mike had a touchdown last night, but only 3 catches, only 39 yards.
I know. Until that point, he was frustrated and locked down.
Yeah.
But overall, how many touchdowns does Mike Evans have this year? I bet you it's more than last year already through 7 games.
I think you're right.
And this is a guy who's, was hoping to get signed and have a contract. That whole thing's going on. And Baker threw one of the most perfect Hail Mary balls that nobody touched in the history of Hail Mary footballs.
Evans has 5.
And how many did he have last year? Bet you less than that. Or maybe right there.
Yeah, I had him last year.
He went 10 games without a touchdown last year.
He had 6.
Yeah, he only had 6.
There you go.
So. And Baker threw the 60, like you said, the 65-yard Hail Mary.
in the air. I mean, literally, Godwin turns around.
Let me hit this with you guys.
Good throw.
And then we'll turn our attention to the news of the day in the NBA. Second straight nationally televised night game in Western New York, where there could have been a penalty on the final play of the game. Now, this is a different ball of wax.
Hail Mary's a little different. Hail Mary's a little
now, the
different.
Number of times I hear from NFL officiating, down and distance doesn't matter, time on the clock doesn't matter, importance of the game doesn't matter. Ask an Eagles fan.
Oh, that's not a Hail Mary.
Brother?
Come on.
So you're saying
a Hail Mary to end the Super Bowl is not getting a flag.
Let me ask you this question. No Hail Mary's getting a flag.
Right, so then why are we talking? What are we talking about?
Because
right now?
That was a foul. One of the reasons why Godwin wasn't turned around in time happens to be one of them, maybe not all the reasons, happens to be he was being fouled.
No, you don't get to bail somebody out.
Bail someone out?
That is a bailout.
So wait a minute. When it's a desperation pass,
you're down two scores with 2 minutes to go. You don't get bailed out on a Hail Mary.
It's a desperation pass. Then the benefit goes to the defense. Go ahead and assault someone.
You literally have to tackle someone in the end zone.
I mean, I'm really looking. Chris,
am I wrong?
He got grabbed by his waist. Kind of turned around.
So again, that's.
I know what you're saying, though, and I know what you're saying. But.
So if they're in the game for much of the game, right? If they're in the game for much, that's part of your metric too. If they're in the game,
if it's a game, yeah. If you
for 58 minutes in the game and you're in it, that should matter.
They're getting
Chris.
Their ass kicked for 58 minutes, but suddenly we're gonna bail them out.
Bail them out. Well, you have an opportunity to score. You need to score
to
win.
It's not an opportunity to score.
You do.
It's literally
this time on the clock.
It's literally a one in a million shot. So what are we doing?
So there is an unwritten rule,
for sure,
that in a Hail Mary there should be.
No, you swallow the whistle on that. You got to make the play. You want a flag there? Honestly, you honestly want a flag there. You want this here. Your whole thing is it's not going to get changed until it happens in the Super Bowl, right? You want a Super Bowl to end on a flag on a Hail Mary?
That ball.
You want Eagles, Patriots. You want a foul called against Gronk on the Hail Mary throw so the Patriots can have a chance.
Was he fouled?
Sure. Let's just say for sure.
Was he fouled?
Yeah, Gronk always gets fouled. Gronk is like Shaq. He gets fouled on every play. So you want a Hail Mary? You want a flag thrown on that?
I'll be honest with you. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm not going to just sit here and be obstinate just because.
That's why you have a Marconi.
Because I agree with you?
Make good points.
No, I totally get it. There is a sense of Hail Marys, it is an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Assault whoever you want.
Exactly.
And if you win,
it has to be really
if
egregious.
You win,
that's the thing, Chris.
If you win on a Hail Mary, you have overcome odds and officiating.
Right.
And that's part of the Hail Mary.
The God shined on you that day.
But Chris Godwin, let me ask you this. Was Chris Godwin fouled last night?
Nah, you know, it's
Chris
blurry, it's
Brockman,
dark, it's
that's
cold.
Why you don't
like,
have, that's why like, you don't have a Marconi.
Here's the deal. We were drinking.
That's why you don't have
everyone
one.
Everyone was drinking a lot in Buffalo. It's
seriously.
A Thursday night.
I would like fans to call 844-204-RICH if you want to chop this one
up. As a poll.
Would you want a penalty called on a Hail Mary if there is one?
But what kind of question? Of course, if there's a penalty, then call it. Right? Like, here's the deal. His jersey did get pulled, without question. Was it egregious enough?
What do you think? Chris Godwin was just like, didn't know the ball was coming. He's just like, la-di-da. He's just like staring into space. Oh, wait a minute. That's somebody in the crowd wearing a very nice hat. Let me look at that. You know, like he's distracted.
Now, if you're getting into the egregious.
Should a flag ever be thrown on a Hail Mary? I'm putting this up as a poll.
Because he was fouled. And so is Darren Waller, by the way. Boy. Bills fans are going to be really happy with me today.
But
we won the game, and you're like, you're still concerned about him.
Different plays. Completely different
Why?
Plays.
Why? Because the Giants were in it, and it was on the one-yard line, as opposed to the opposite 45?
Because it was an actual play.
But it's
a Hail Mary is not a play.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's playground with your friends. You're playing 500. You're literally running around, and you just chuck it as far as you can. That's not a football play.
So what happens?
So wait a minute. But the brotherly shove is?
Yeah, because that takes skill. Hail Mary takes zero skill. You're literally throwing it as far as you can and then hoping it bounces your way.
What if Baker Mayfield was hearing this? There was no skill. That was a highly skilled throw on his part. Because you also have to get it high enough.
After that, it's literally just close your eyes and pray.
No, it's not. You gotta hope that somebody doesn't yank your jersey to the point where you turn around in time enough to grab the football that is perfectly thrown in your direction.
Get out of here.
I mean, if he doesn't spin to the left. You're arguing against yourself.
I don't. No, I'm not arguing against myself.
But you don't think it should be a flag.
You know what? I'm clearly betwixt and between on it. Because there is some merit. And then how about this? If there is no difference between, you hear from NFL, Pereira and Sterator and John Parry Terry McCauley and Dean Blandino and Bill Carollo and anybody who wears a zebra back in the day jersey, and now, the exception of TJ, because we're not talking about selling shoes. But anybody will tell you, doesn't matter the down or distance or time on the clock, or if it's week one, if it's quarter one, it's week four, it's quarter four, it's overtime, it's the Super Bowl, it's a championship Sunday, or it's preseason. Doesn't matter. A foul is a foul. Then don't tell me that anymore to cover tracks about a flag that is called a penalty thrown or a penalty that is called at the end of a game that decides a game. Don't tell me that anymore. So let's do that. I can't hear that anymore because on a Hail Mary, there's a totally different set of rules. So let's codify it. On a Hail Mary, you can put your hands on a receiver. You can. While the ball's in the air, you can do it.
Why does that need to be written down, though? We already know that that's the case. Have you ever seen a call? I've never seen a call in 40 years.
What if one was called
football
last night? You would have had a problem with that?
I would have been like, what are we doing?
All right, well, here's the one way to look at it. If you want to, like, take your side. In the back of the end zone, Mike Evans takes number 7, DB, and throws him down on the ground. So that could have been
offsetting pass. And then what are we going to replay the down? We're going to replay the down. Come on.
You know, I'm just trying to make a peaceful accord here.
No, no, no. There's I need a
Godwin
peaceful.
Godwin definitely gets grabbed.
With all honesty, we need a peaceful accord within myself because I'm sounding it all out right now.
But also, Rich, yesterday we talked about having everything reviewable in 2 minutes.
I know.
You're going to review that?
I know.
So you're going to review that?
That's true. That's true.
And you're going to be like, well, I mean, if we slow it down to super duper duper slow-mo, he had his hand around his waist and that's a penalty.
I don't think they would say that.
Or at least
well,
not
they might
like that.
Say that, but not like that.
And the tone and
but then they're going to re-challenge for Mike Evans
on these plays. They must sound like that. That maybe that's part of the rule.
Yeah,
you got to sound. You got to do the doofus sound. How was your day today?
Did you have a good day today?
Okay, very good. That's a good point too, on the whole like replay everything.
Serious,
not serious people.
Speaking of not serious people.
Let's get into it. No, let's get into it. Let's get into it. If the Sixers didn't want James Harden, if the Sixers didn't want James Harden in Milwaukee, then why did he show up to the airport to go to Milwaukee only to be told that you're not allowed on the plane to go to Milwaukee? That is the question. Or let's flip the script. If Harden...
Look at that picture.
This great picture. This is the photograph of him showing up to the airport and being told, apparently, according to all reports by Elton Brand and security, the Sixers, you're not allowed on the plane.
Your boarding pass has been denied,
sir. He has the eyes of the guy in the boat in Caddyshack who got ran over by Al Chervik's body. He's like,
Or it's just like, wait a minute, your boarding pass says Jim Harden, and it doesn't exactly match your government identification.
Right.
Next to luck
license.
Right there. What? So
that's amazing.
Yeah. That's him being told he doesn't have TSA pre for this flight. What?
You're in 34B, sir. Well,
that's now that's what? The look. Now that's the look. So, yeah.
I'm going to pay how much for my
bag? Or how about this? If Harden has essentially been MIA for his team and has basically made it known, I'm just going to show up just to be there so I'm not going to get fined, like the old
Marshawn
Lynch line, then why would he be so surprised when he's not allowed on the plane?
I swear I didn't put that in my bag. That's what that picture
is. So what happened? What happened? Because I'll tell you this. If it is the Sixers' hope that he does eventually just come around.
Oh, no, Rich.
And play for the Philadelphia 76ers because he realizes he's not getting traded and he has no choice. The last way to make that rapprochement.
Oh, big word.
Happen. The last tack they should approach is to basically infantilize him at the gate of a plane that the rest of his team is already boarded.
Ooh, yeah.
Or is about to board or is in the process of boarding. That's one of the things. Like, are they just all like, you know, in group one and
looking
he's like group two? You know
way.
What I mean? Like, really, like it's like Embiid in group one and Maxey's in group one and then Harden looks down, oh, I'm in group none. You know, like, what happened? How did it happen? Is he standing there at the FBO and they're all on the plane and they're like Embiid's looking out the window and he sees Harden like talking to security, like gesturing, like what is happening?
And does Joe look out the window and see it and just kind of put his blind down?
Slowly, like, just slowly put his blind down. Yeah, honestly. What? These are the things that...
extra guacquas, what?
Great photo.
What?
Great photo choice. Our radio audience, it's arms out and he's literally being pulled by an official that the foul's on him and he can't believe it. Because literally being told by the Sixers management, foul's on you and he can't believe it. And the foul being, you told all of China you don't want to play here anymore and we're trying to trade. What the hell is going on? And the fascinating thing is the NBA is going to look into this now. Why? Because everybody else in the league for the last several years kept on screwing over nationally televised broadcasts by load managing stars. And suddenly, you know, TNT's showing a game with Slappy versus Slappy, you know, and all the stars of the game are standing there in their street clothes, you know, and we're all watching games like, oh, okay, what could have been had all the street clothes guys been in uniform and the Slappy's actually been in street clothes? So they had to actually codify this stuff. And if there's a healthy player of a certain standard that doesn't play on a nationally televised game, which the Sixers versus the Bucks were, then the league's going to look into this. So the league's going to actually look into this. So hopefully, hey, NBA, tell me, when did it happen? How did it happen? If the Sixers didn't know Harden was showing up and then had to basically tell him, we think, you know, you might not be in game shape to get on the plane to go here because you've been holding out. So guess what? We need to see how you look. So go to the facility and start working out a little bit more, and then we'll take a look at you. So the next time we're on a road trip, you can come with us.
That's the part I didn't get.
Or
go to the gym.
Yeah, go to the gym. Go work out. Sounds like what Susie said to me in the summer sometimes. I'm just sitting around the house. We go work out, you know, and so.
You ain't got to go home.
So, yeah, you got to go to the facility. We need to check you out. The trainers need to get a look-see at you, James. Imagine telling him that as he's trying to board a plane. Or
what? Our team is in shambles.
Or they knew he was going to come to the airport, then call his agent and say, stay home.
Right?
Like or that would actually be part of whatever standoff that they're having, saying, well, we're ready to report. And the Sixers tell him that he can't report. And the Sixers are using the fig leaf of, well, we don't know what your shape is, so we need to see you work out in the facility. And this is a big old kabuki dance. Just trade him the Clippers already. Which is exactly what Harden's thinking. Or then what? Put him on IR or do something. But this is just what this is nuts.
It's nuts.
Mixed nuts, which he didn't get on the plane.
Most of Malone and Dr. J didn't go
Warm mixed nuts.
Okay.
By the way, great. Maybe I was looking for my new fantasy team name, and Harden's on my fantasy team. James Harden's warm mixed nuts is my new fantasy team name, and I think he likes it. Look at the shot right there.
Well done.
Harden's warm mixed nuts is the name of my new fantasy team, and I can't wait to explain to my 12-year-old son Cooper, who's in this league, why I'm calling him that name.
I told you that's the best thing. Words
about flying that first. I guarantee any parent out there taking in this program on a Roku channel, Westwood One, this terrestrial radio affiliate, or SiriusXM or Odyssey, no dad has ever been asked by their son, Dad, why is your team's name Harden's Warm Mixed Nuts?
The best thing about flying first class, warm nuts and warm chocolate chip cookies.
Well, guess what?
Hot towel.
Guess what he didn't do?
No hot towel.
Didn't get warm nuts?
No
hot How do you towel. Think he's going to take this?
Not well, Rich. Not well at all.
This is over.
It's done. They got to trade
him. How can you come back from, like, they damn near Lane Kiffened him?
Who is going to take him?
Somebody has to.
Oh, somebody will.
This is
you
not
know somebody
work.
Will.
But then, well, it's like Charles the guys in TNT said this, and I told you this 3 weeks ago. Him having a problem with Daryl Morey is so stupid because he and Daryl Morey are on the court together. Rich, that would be like if me and Sean Mitchell at home, we had some type of beef. And I'd be like, well, I don't want to come to home because me and Sean don't get along. Well, Sean and I aren't in the same building. We can work out what we need to work out without it affecting what goes on here.
Right.
So I just don't understand that mindset. Like, you have a problem with the GM, but you're not on the court with him. You're not playing for him. You're playing for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I know. There's a principle of the matter, as you know. And the principle of the matter is, in the NBA, someone of James Harden's status says, I don't want to be here anymore. He's accommodated. And the question is was he told in advance that he would be accommodated? I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the woods of what I think has already been established between these two sides. But the question is how did he show up at the airport? Why did he show up at the airport? If the Sixers knew, why don't you just tell him, don't show up at the airport? And then to basically have security stand there and go, well, you might be looking a little fat. Go work out. Honestly.
What is happening?
Seriously. Now, I know on private aircraft, they do ask, you know, your weight.
They do ask your weight.
I mean, that's there's true. A great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode right there.
I'm sure he's
not. Yeah, maybe you had a little bit too much Toblerone here, James. Go work out.
I'm sure he's not a double seatbelt.
Jeez,
candidate.
What a story.
It's always something with this team, guys.
Yeah, we don't have a seatbelt extender here, James, like, so you need to get off the flight.
But go to the gym and wait for us there.
That happened, in essence. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit. We love it. Look at that picture right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
How did you wind up at Weber State, Damian? How did that happen?
I just didn't get recruited. I remember I had a good summer on the circuit in Weber State, you know, at one of the games. You know, there was one coach at the game, and it was Coach Randy Ray from Weber State. And they started recruiting me hard and, you know, developed a relationship with him. And it wasn't like no big-time schools came along or nothing like that. So I just kind of went with the people that I developed some trust with and, you know, people I was comfortable with.
And you were the number zero representing the letter O from Oakland, and obviously now you play in Oregon. Do you feel now that you play basketball in Portland, in the Pacific Northwest, beautiful state of Oregon, that you're overlooked, that this is a theme for you, Damian Lillard, your whole life, that you're overlooked? Would you?
I think that's been my story, you know, just I guess being looked past. You know, I don't want to say overlooked because I think people see what I do. They just look past it. In high school, like I was saying, on the circuit, I played against all the best players and I was having big games, you know. So I remember seeing, you know, all these high major schools at the game, seeing players on the opposite team. So, you know, they had to see what I was doing. They just looked past it, you know, because they was looking at something else. Same thing in college. You know, I would have big games when I played against big schools, and it was rare to see somebody else. So, you know, and I think now being in Portland, you know, people got to stay up late on the East Coast to watch us play. We don't play on TV, you know, 2 and 3 times a week. So I think it's easy to look past it. So, I mean, I think that's just been my story.
Damian Lillard, who had a terrific first opening night as a Milwaukee Buck back in the day here on the Rich Eisen Show on our YouTube feed. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long, including Monday Night Football against the Lions. These Raiders are for free. Check it out. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Restrictions apply. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Later on today, I'm scheduled to chat on Zoom with Davante Adams.
Oh.
And we will be placing the contents of the conversation on our YouTube stream. Letting everyone know that immediately amongst all of our Rich Eisen Show staff.
Yeah, we're going to get that out.
We're going to get that out over the weekend. So, and then there's that Monday night game.
Kind of a big game for us.
You think?
For them on Monday.
The Jets and the Giants playing each other this weekend. Giants coming off a big win at home against Washington. Now here comes the Jets coming off a bye, coming off a big win against Philadelphia. Daniel Jones is out. It's Tyrod Taylor again. That's 3 straight starts for Tyrod Taylor, leading the question to be placed in front of Brian Daboll. When is Daniel Jones going to come back? Is he going to play at all this season? Concerned about the neck injury here.
Season?
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
And the answer included a phrase around the Rich Eisen Show that pays. Hit it.
You told us a couple weeks ago that Daniel's going to play again this year. Was that based off of what the trainers have told you, or is that just your hope? Like, you hope he plays again?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to go back to that, Connor. Appreciate the question. I just say he's getting better, and I'll see where he is next week.
I guess ask it again, then. Do you think he'll play again this year?
Yeah, he's getting better, and we'll see where he is next week. I don't have a crystal ball with injuries, but he is getting better, and see where he is next week.
That is a little less, you know, declarative than what you were previously.
Yep.
So you can't answer that in the affirmative.
Yeah. Well, again, I just go up with the information that I get. Today he was out. He's getting better. We'll see where he is next week.
So we'll see where he is next week.
Dude, of course the guy doesn't know. It's a friggin' neck injury. Like one day he could wake up feeling way worse.
Yeah.
This is serious business. Yeah. And also, the man does not have a crystal ball. Our problem. Well, it's not our problem. It's my problem. I'm the one who bought it off of.
It's too heavy.
I got two big one. I got it's too big.
It's because
I wanted
thing.
It to look beautiful on television. Not.
Look beautiful on television.
So should I get a much smaller one that we can have here and I could look into it?
You just have that one right next to you.
Have you seen it's the professional crystal ball reader? They ain't got a little crystal ball. It's a big crystal ball.
I know. To see the future, the crystal ball's got to be significant.
You can't have an 8-ball size crystal ball.
It's all the way in the back.
It's in the back.
I mean, it's in the back. It's a beautiful looking thing.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
Rich thinks it's too big for his desk. Next to the Marconi and the crystal ball.
I brought the Marconi home.
Bring it back, man.
I'll bring it back next week.
And when do we get our day with it? I want to take it to the movies.
It's like, not the Stanley Cup.
In the pool. Oh, okay. To the bar. Me and Feller are going to take
it
down
to Hermosa. Or it's like the Stanley Cup.
They say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
The only way that you can hold it is if you've won it.
Right.
you can only hold it over your head if you've won it, right?
Over your head.
Rich,
only if you've won it.
Can we
cut a hole in that thing so we can drink out of it?
Quote Jeff Spicoli, since you're here and we're here, doesn't that kind of make it our time? Marconi Award?
Should I shotgun a beer off it?
Oh,
look at you. I didn't know we had that.
He ignored that.
Kathy in Philadelphia, let's take your phone call. What's up, Kathy?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's going on? How you been?
I've been well, Rich. I know last night was tough for you, watching your son play so well and still lose. But let's pump the brakes on calling for flags on the final play that is a Hail Mary. I can't believe that you would be okay if a major game, or really any game, ended with because a defensive penalty was called in the end zone or offsetting penalties were called or whatever for something that is a fairly standard play and is widely known that the refs let them play.
Well, the reason, Kathy, let me just push back a little bit here, is you're right, okay? You're right. You are correct, all right? But
it was rough for you watching your son lose. I understand. It's going to be okay.
No, I know that, but, he and I hugged it out last night anyway, so. But I just don't want to hear anymore from any officiating gurus or the league itself. Then is that doesn't matter about down and distance. Doesn't matter when it is. Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And on a Hail Mary, it does. You don't call it on a Hail Mary like ever.
I agree. But my pushback for that is that generally speaking, when someone says that, like when Mike Pereira comes on your show and explains the Super Bowl thing and says it doesn't matter when in the game it is, that's generally their attempt to either justify or excuse away what would have been seen widely as a bad penalty. Nobody comes in and says, yeah, that was we called that play in the first quarter, too. No, they didn't. That's why they have to justify throwing it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So that's the gray area.
Okay.
My other quick question is the lack of parity when it comes to, I understand the Bills are not living up to expectations as of right now, but there are a lot of teams that are not currently living up to expectations, including the Bengals, who escaped the Seahawks. So why is it the expectation level or the disappointment level so high for the Bills when it's not?
No, it, let me just shoot you straight then. It is for Cincinnati, too. I'm genuinely concerned about their ability to win the Super Bowl this year, for a fact. Look at us, Kathy. Thanks for the call. There you go. There's Kathy. Well, she just went, don't lose that intensity. She just kind of went Micah Parsons on us right there.
You know, Kathy's going to bring the ruckus.
Kathy's going to bring it.
More phone calls. What's more likely? My top five games I'm looking forward to in week eight. Coming up an hour or two. Again, I'm just as concerned about Cincinnati, too. But they've won two in a row. And, you know, the Bills have came up with that win. And I am concerned about them. Just same thing with Cincinnati. I'm concerned about Cincinnati. I am concerned about the Bills. You know who I'm not concerned about? The Chiefs. I am not concerned about them.
But the Bills game, the Bills shouldn't have had a close game last night. Like, that team's not good. They're coming off a 10-point win at home. You got to blow them out.
It should have been 24-10 final. Like, Zach Baker Mayfield without ripping his face mask. Game over.
Right, exactly.
Game
the Bengals
over.
Have a really tough road game against a very good team.
Right.
So that is going to be a close game that they might even lose.
Guess what? And then they go to Buffalo and lose that one. They're going to be 3-5.
Maybe.
And in a division that, TJ, you're talking about every team making it in the playoffs because they are that good.
Or they're 5-3.
Or they're 5-3.
Or it's Sam Darnold. He struggles.
Or wait, they're 4-4.
Burrow looks good.
Yep. Absolutely.
We'll see.
And, you know, and the same thing. That's why Micah Parsons is just like, well, you know, where's the criticism of Brock Purdy? Well, I think everyone's now tempering it because he got his bell completely smashed in, you know. Mm. And then, you know, Philadelphia, there's some concerns about them, too, and they're 6-1. One thing that's for sure is that Jalen Hurts will be allowed on the plane.
Yeah,
it's not a completely Philadelphia-wide situation. That's what I'm saying. Hour two coming up.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you were asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.